This morning, would you turn with me to the second epistle of Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 6. We begin reading with verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, being absent and bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And I want to stop the reading right here. I want to use as a theme for this message, for the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. In this 10th chapter, we find Paul, before that actually, in Corinthians here, Paul met with more opposition from false apostles at Corinth, almost more than any place else. He had many enemies there that were always, they were criticizing. And here he vindicates himself from their imputation and arms the Corinthians against their insinuations. And how does this apply to us? Well, what he talks about is our battle not only applies to his situation, but to all of us. We all have battles and things that are strongholds that to overcome. And the work of the ministry is warfare. It's not after the flesh, indeed. It is spiritual warfare. Our sister Judy prays almost every time in the prayer meetings. It's all a spiritual battle. And I have to chuckle as she prays that prayer because it is so true. It is all a spiritual battle. Everything that happens is a spiritual, there's a spiritual component to it. The enemy tries in some way to discourage you. It might be a physical problem, might be a family problem, but there's always the enemy that wants to make it spiritual, to wear you down and to discourage you and to take away your joy. It is a spiritual battle, and though we walk after the flesh and live in this body, in the common affairs of life, the battle is a spiritual warfare that we have to not use the abilities of the flesh, but the things that God provides to overcome, praise God, because we have enemies within and without. In our own selves, our mind, we have battles internally, and there are things around us that cause us to have battles. And here, the carnal weapons of, we could list human ingenuity and talent and wealth, organizing ability, eloquence, propaganda, charisma, and personality are in themselves inadequate to bring down the strongholds of Satan. And make no mistake about it, Satan is interested in one thing, your destruction and my destruction. He wants to take us away from God. He wants to rob us of what God has called us to. And I say, Lord, help us here this morning. The only weapons that are adequate to destroy the fortresses of Satan are those that God gives that we're going to read about. What is a stronghold? We have divine power to destroy strongholds. What is a stronghold? And in the Greek, it says it's an easy word to understand because it is made up of a root word which literally means a place of strength, a place which is essentially and inherently strong. That is a place where evil is entrenched, where it is fortified, protected behind strong defenses. It is not out in the open, easily exposed and overthrown, but it is well defended, a fortress with walls and moats and turrets, difficult to attack. That's the definition as we look at a stronghold. What are some of the strongholds in our life? What are the things, in some internal, some external, that we battle? Well, materialism is one stronghold. The love of things reduces human beings to nothing but comfortable animals, living for pleasure, for the fleeting moment, for the high, for the accomplishment, materialism. What did John write in his epistle? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Lord, help us not to be materialistic minded. Take away, if that's something in our nature, in our lives, Lord, help us to fight that stronghold. What's another one? Pride. Pride in our humanity. A stronghold of evil. Pride can separate husband and wife, parents and children. Pride. Pride. Oh, Lord. It can cause unforgiveness, cause us to be unrepentant, unapologetic, foster jealousies and envyings, variance, the struggle for superiority, that's what the word says, emulations, resentfulness of another's success. Pride is so evil. A stronghold that we have to be careful. What caused Satan, Lucifer, to fall? It wasn't the law. It was pride. I will exalt myself above. Pride. Pride gets a hold of us. And it causes us to think in variance to God. Pride doesn't like conviction. I don't want to be convicted. Pride doesn't want to see conviction. I'm okay. After all, there's an excuse for the way I am. There's an excuse that I have this problem or whatever the situation. But pride doesn't like conviction. In 1 John, he writes, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. What are the other strongholds, divisions, or schisms? Was in the Corinthian church. Divisions. Well, I like that group, or I like this group, or I like that pastor, I like this pastor. A stronghold of Satan. Besetting sins, another stronghold, besetting sins. We all have besetting sins that we constantly struggle with. Some it's gossip, some lying, some losing one's temper, some lust, and on, besetting sins that each of us struggle with. Things that might bother me don't bother you and vice versa. But they're besetting sins that we struggle against and constantly fight this sinful nature. In Galatians, Paul writes, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. The conflict, this humanity, this carnal nature, always we are in conflict, and it is constantly a battle that we face. Another stronghold is human reasoning. Well, I don't think that's so bad, and I don't think God meant this, and I don't think. Human reasoning. We make excuses. We make adjustments. I don't think. In Proverbs, he writes, "There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Oh, Lord, help us. Self-satisfied, a lukewarm attitude. We read in Revelations about the church of Laodicea, lukewarm, self-satisfied. I'm going to coast. Compromise with the world, representing, looking like the society that surrounds them. Do we blend in? Do we blend in with society, or are we just like them? Do we behave just like them? You've got to answer that. I've got to answer that internally myself. Lord, how am I? Help us. And you know a big one is fear. A stronghold. Fear. Everything is, as long as everything's going well, we're okay. But something happens and we fall to pieces. And we all battle with fear. Every one of us. But it can be a stronghold of the enemy. Well, I'm afraid. Lord, take that fear away from us. Oh, praise the Lord. The devil's strongholds include every proud argument that keeps people from knowing God and rebellious ideas. The world of ideas is the real battleground for God and the devil. Many complex theories and philosophies try to block people from knowing the truth about God and worshiping Him. These philosophies divert us from the glory of God and the truth, and are the devil's strongholds. Oh Lord. But God gave us weapons to destroy the strongholds of Satan. Oh, praise God. I know that's all negative. Well, the stronghold, yes, they're there. And that's not an exhaustive number, a list, but you can understand. But there's more. The weapons that God gave us. What is that? The first being truth. Jesus came to rip the veil off the lies. And he presented truth to us. Amen. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, he told them the truth, praise God. Even his disciples, he exposed the truth. It says, the word says, you shall know the truth, and the what? The truth shall set you free. Oh, I want to know the truth, praise God. It's the truth in Christ Jesus. There is an absolute truth. It's in the Word of God, praise the Lord. And Jesus is the truth. We have the truth, praise God. The understanding of what God would have us to believe. The second weapon is love. Talking about biblical love. That kind that requires no return from the individual loved. Love that is described, and you read in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Oh, praise God. Love. The ability to love, praise God. Not like the world loves, but the God-given kind of love. The agape love. A weapon of faith. When you can't reach someone, just love them. When words don't reach, continue to love them. When they hurt your feelings, when they put you down, just continue to love. Oh, what a weapon it is, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. The third weapon is righteousness. Fundamentally, that's obedience to truth and love, and it's what we call integrity, righteousness, living a righteous life. We all fail the Lord at times. Yes, we do. But we don't practice sinning. We practice living righteous. Oh, praise God. Lord, help us. You see, the word tells us we can't go on making excuses for our weaknesses. You gotta own up. Can't go on justifying your failures. The word says you gotta stop lying and stealing and cursing and your harshness towards one another, your unforgiveness, your jealousy, your petulance. But that righteousness also not as just negative, but you must show a tenderheartedness, acceptance and forgiveness for Christ's sake. Righteousness. Living righteous. Living righteous. A weapon of our warfare. Praise God. And the fourth is a compound one. I can put them together. Faith and prayer. They're almost indistinguishable. Faith is relying on God's activity in our life, and prayer is asking for that intervention. Oh Lord, help us. Oh, praise God. Faith expecting God to do something in our lives. Persevering prayer, even when it looks dark, even when there seems to be no answer, we persevere in prayer. Oh, Lord, we know this, but Lord, help us to practice it. The weapons of our warfare, you know what, some people battle addictions in their life. And it's that persevering prayer, that belief, God's going to deliver. God's going to set them free. Persevering prayer, praying for family members that are out of the ark of safety, that turn a deaf ear to hearing Jesus Christ, wanting to serve him. But oh, praise God, it's that persevering prayer. Oh, Lord, help us. He changes things. He overthrows, he builds up, he exalts. He does all through prayer. It is a weapon. I don't know if you thought of prayer as a weapon. It seems passive. It doesn't seem aggressive, but it is a weapon, praise God, that we use. When we open ourselves to prayer, when we pray in faith, when we open our hearts and sincerely reach out to God, praise the Lord, we open up all the resources of heaven against the situation. We ask the Lord, Lord, would you intervene in your mercy and your love? Would you intervene in all the abilities that God has? Are transferred, are focused on that problem. Another weapon, proclamation of the gospel. The good news, praise the Lord. The good news, the truth of God. Another weapon, the hope of salvation. In one of the scriptures, it calls it, put on the helmet, the hope of salvation. Oh, praise the Lord, the hope that we have, a hope that maketh not ashamed. The word of the hope is an anchor for the soul. Praise the Lord. It's a purifying hope. With no hope, what do we have? Well, look at the world today. That's what no hope looks like. That's what no hope looks like. Is what we see going on in the world today. It devolves, society and the world devolves to where they are now. Corruption, anger, hatred, fighting, wars. People can't get along. No peace, no hope. Oh, praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost power, a weapon. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power to live the life. Power to say no to sin. Power to say no to the enemy. Praise God. The Holy Ghost. Some people don't like to hear the word Holy Ghost. I'm going to say it, Holy Ghost. That's what the Gospels call it. Baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Praise the Lord. It's the fire from heaven. It's the fire that warms the soul, that stirs the heart, that gives us the power to go on. Praise the Lord. Where would we be without the Holy Ghost? I mean the reality. I'm not talking about knowing about the Holy Ghost, third person of the Trinity. That's all wonderful. No, I'm talking about the reality of the operation of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Where would we be? Be like everybody else, having a form of godliness, having, you know, understanding the script. But I want the power, my brother and sister. I want the power. And that's a weapon we need, praise God, to defeat the strongholds of Satan. How are you going to overcome your situation, your problems, your lust, your envy, your jealousies, your hatred, your anger? How are you going to overcome it? Amen. Resolutions? Well, I'm going to try harder. That doesn't work. I'm going to stop the alcohol. It doesn't work. You need delivering power of the Lord. Praise God. The power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Oh, Lord. The Word of God. What a weapon that is. The sword of the Spirit. I love that. The sword of the Spirit. Oh, praise God. What does the Word say? What did Jesus use when he was tempted by Satan three times? It says in the Word, praise God. It says in the Word. And when Satan comes against you, go back to the Word. What does the Word say? The Word says, I'm an overcomer. The Word says, I'm victorious. The Word says he'll never leave me nor forsake me. The Word says I am victorious. Praise God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Lord, arm us. Arm us with the weapons that we need, oh God. And help us. And last one I want to list, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is a weapon. Oh, praise God. When the enemy comes, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Praise God. That blood that was shed that caused your defeat is against you. The blood that cleansed my soul, the blood that made me whole. The blood of Jesus, praise God. When Satan says, you're a failure, you're a sinner, you're lost. Oh no, Satan, let me tell you, the blood of Jesus set me free. The blood of Jesus cleansed me. The blood of Jesus made me whole. Praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. Zechariah writes, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for the uncleanness and for uncleanness. Talking, prophesying when Jesus would come, die on the cross for your sins and my sins. A fountain was open, praise God. A fountain of victory, a fountain of cleansing, praise the Lord, was open for the house of Israel and for all who will access themselves. Praise the Lord. These are the weapons against the enemy that the church will come out victorious. Oh, praise God, so that the kingdom of God will be powerfully manifested in order to have to save sinners and cast out demons and to sanctify believers and baptize them in the Holy Spirit. Oh, praise God, we want a church that is full of the power of God. We want a church that is an overcoming church, amen. Individually and corporately, oh, we want the power of God to be so real. Praise the Lord. As I come to a close, in Matthew, the 16th chapter, it says, and I say unto you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, we've taken that scripture to be a defensive action. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. But I believe that's not really the intent. Like the church is being assaulted by forces from the outside. Now, it's true that the scriptures describe the Christian struggle as an individual, as defensive action, as we read in Ephesians 6, put on the armor of God. Much of that is defensive. But when the scripture is viewed in its entirety, what do we see about the church? The church was aggressive. The church was attacking the gates of hell. The church was going out into the highways and byways and bringing the good news of the gospel. The church was using the weapons that God gave them. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Oh, Lord, help us. You know, we can take a look at the Old Testament and look at the Israelites when they left Egypt. Old Testament shadows and types of the new. And in Deuteronomy, you don't have to turn to it. It says, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, even nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. What was the promised land in the spiritual sense? It was a type of victorious Christian living. It was a gift, but it was a battle. And all the Hivites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites were all types of sin, types of the work of the enemy. And they had to be delivered. They had to be smitten. They had to be destroyed. Praise God. God didn't say go into the promised land and find a place where was isolated from the Hivites and their Girgashites and the Jebusites and kind of just be to yourself. No, he said possess the land. He said to take over. He said to smite the inhabitants, wipe them off the face of the earth. In spiritual terms, to be aggressive. In spiritual terms, to be in victory. Oh, praise God. You know, among Christians today, and all of us maybe, there's a, as though we have to just hang on to what we have and wait for the Lord to come. Oh, we gotta hang on. Gotta hang on. No. I think we gotta be aggressive and we gotta bring the battle. And we got to fight the good fight of faith. Oh, I say, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. We've been in defensive mode. Well, you know, in the football and most of the games that you hear play, you can't win just being good on defense. You got to have an offense. And God's calling us to move out, to attack. Attack the gates of hell where we find the situation, and we do it in love. We do it not in an aggressive manner that I'm speaking of, but we do it, praise God, with the weapons that God has given us. Oh, praise the Lord. Help us. The early church, remember when Peter and John, they were threatened and beaten and sent back. They went back to the prayer meeting there in Jerusalem. And what did they pray? Lord, help us. Help us to hide away. Help us, Lord, to go underground. Help us, Lord, to just hide out. No, they said, Lord, give us more boldness to proclaim your word. Praise God. The church, the activity of the church in the old, in the New Testament was one of aggression. God called Paul to go on missionary journeys and other of the apostles, they did as God moved them to do, praise God. They didn't go underground, but they brought the good news of the gospel. They brought the kingdom of God to them, praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, help us. And we find in the Word of God, we read the story of Joseph, a young man that was in his prime, feeling the rising of youthful passions, and he was approached by the wife of his employer to indulge in immoral situation. And Joseph resisted. In the book of Daniel, those three Hebrew young men threatened with the fiery furnace. They did not go under. They stood their ground. And the Lord brought them through victorious. Hezekiah in the Old Testament, when the Assyrians came against him, surrounded him, he went to God in prayer. And it says 185,000 of the Assyrians were killed by one angel. The Lord delivered him. Praise God. Oh Lord, help us. Many, many examples in the Word. Lord, help us to apply the weapons that you have given us, powerful weapons to overcome. Praise the Lord. To be aggressive, not to be obnoxious, not to try and push it in people's face, but to go, praise God, and pray, Lord, give us opportunities to bring the good news of the gospel. Give us opportunities to witness. Give us opportunities, oh Lord, to point them to Jesus Christ. Give us opportunities, oh God, to exercise in the faith. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. We're not going to finesse it. The church today is doing all kinds of things, trying to appeal to the masses, trying to create community. And there's nothing wrong with activities and all those things. That's fine. But that's not a substitute for the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That's not a substitute for the power of God. That's not a substitute for the operation of the Holy Spirit. Oh, praise God. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. Help us, Lord, to exercise in the faith. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Lord, would you help us this morning? Help us to pull down the strongholds. As we examine our lives, what strongholds are there that I have to contend with? What strongholds need to be destroyed and abolished? What strongholds are there? In our community, what are the strongholds? Lord, give us opportunities to reach out to this community. Have we ever thought about that? I know some have. What opportunities are there? Holy Spirit, would you lead us? Holy Spirit, would you direct our path? We got something precious here. We've got the good news of the gospel. We've got what changes people's lives. We've got what saves their soul. We have the real McCoy here, something that God has blessed us with, not because we're such great people, but because of his love. Lord, help us to share it, praise God. Do you remember in the prayer meetings, and I know some of you do, time's gone by, someone got baptized with the Holy Ghost. I remember seeing it so clearly in my mind, especially at the old church in that little basement by the baptismal tank there. Someone would get baptized with the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God would descend upon them and they would have the manifestation of the power of God. And as it would subside after some time, after they were praying, immediately they got up and went and prayed next to someone who was seeking the baptism. They wanted to share what they had. They wanted to bring it to someone else. They wanted someone else to receive what they had. Oh Lord, give us that Spirit. Give us that desire, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not to be satisfied, well, my family's in church, that's all good. No, there's some family that are not in church. So all of us have families that are not in church. There's someone out there. There's someone that needs to hear the good news. Someone needs to come to the foot of the cross. Oh, God. Oh, God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Oh no. Oh no. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Lord, would you help us this morning? The Holy Spirit would begin to stir our hearts. The Holy Spirit would move us. The Holy Spirit would ignite a fire within us. Oh, yes. Oh, God, you have entrusted. Peter writes, behold, God says, I've given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And he said, and add to these things, this and that and the other. Add to these virtues. Grow in Christ, praise God. Let the Spirit of God mature you. Let it draw you closer. Let it make you stronger. Let it use you to the full potential that God wants to use you. Oh, praise the Lord. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Oh, no. Not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Oh, praise God. Lord, we see the strongholds around us. We see them in our families. We see them in our lives. Help us, Lord, to use the weapons that you gave us, to be victorious, to bring about revival, to bring about restoration, to bring the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to bring about change. May the Lord encourage you this morning. May his name be praised. Amen. Do we have a song?